I see you have a job, I start chanting.
Yes. Oh,
wonderful. That's great.
My name is Luis, and same as her, I met, through Occupy, I met the movement through Occupy, and ever since January 31st, I've been coming.
This year?
Mm-hmm. This year.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm David.
Okay.
First night I'm here. Jack and Jason recently invited me, and I've been really interested.
Oh, very good, very good.
Went to some of the Occupy stuff, but that's not why I'm here.
Nice to have you.
It's good to be here.
Okay. The other friends here?
Yeah, and my name is Alex. I moved about 2 years ago, just a few blocks from here, and I was coming to the restaurant, and one time one of the devotees told me to come to the Sunday service, and I completely fell in love with it after that, and since I live so close, I'm here pretty much every day of the week.
Okay, very good.
So, yeah.
I've seen you around. Mm-hmm. You've been around for a while.
Yeah, Bhakti Joey. I've been, this is my seventh year, yeah.
Okay.
And I work at the restaurant as a server, and I do a lot of other things around the temple. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Stay very busy.
Very nice. Okay.
Yes. Right,
yes. Yeah, I know, she told me that. I just.
I saw her
in my work. Yeah, we met in India a few days ago. Recently. Introduce yourself if you like to.
I'm Bhakti Linda. I've been here since August 2009. And I found out about it through in 2008 through my English professor at East Hill College is a Hare Krishna. So I found out through Buddha. I'm involved in service and here since.
Very nice. And you, Mataji, if you want to?
I'm Mata Sucharya. I've been here since the early 70s. I came to Dallas in 72.
Just in case.
And just very happy to be with all these wonderful devotees.
All right. Yeah. Wonderful. And our new guest?
Hello.
What's your name?
Reagan.
Okay. Have you been before to the temple?
A few times, yes.
Oh, very good.
She came specifically to get her spirits up today.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for coming in the middle of the rain and the cold.
Her and I used to work together. Krishna works in a mysterious way.
Really?
Like one night I was coming down the hall, I was like, we used to work together.
Just see. It's a small world, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, how you open this? I'm not a technical person.
Which chapter you want to go to?
What you choose one verse, nice verse. Okay, go chapter 2, verse 66. Chapter 2.
Yeah, I'm going backwards.
Because it's closer.
Yeah, it doesn't go by it.
Okay.
Her grandfather passed away yesterday.
Oh, Hare Krishna. I'm sorry to hear that.
No problem.
That's the nature of this world.
I think he's in a better place.
Yes. You always want the best for our dear ones, isn't it? And so, let us talk then about the soul. The Bhagavad Gita speaks about the soul a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What happens at the time of death, how to get ready for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go, to the verses that speak about the soul proper. Mm-hmm. This Bhagavad Gita is like the Bible for those who are born in India, but now it's for many people all around the world. For millions of people, it's a sacred book spoken by Lord Krishna. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Okay, I'm gonna read the Sanskrit and then the translation. All right. We usually read these verses also when a person passed away, and like a ceremony, we read a few verses to remind ourselves, and even the departed soul may be hearing too this true about the soul, so to free our mind from lamentation. Okay. Vasam shijirnani yata vihaya navani grinati naroparani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Purport. Change of body by the atomic individual soul is an accepted fact. Even the modern scientists who do not believe in the existence of the soul, but at the same time cannot explain the source of energy from the heart, have to accept continuous changes of body, which appear from childhood to boyhood and from boyhood to youth and again from youth to old age. From old age, the changes transfer to another body. This has already been explained in the previous verse. Transference of the atomic individual soul to another body is made possible by the grace of the super soul. The super soul fulfills the desire of the atomic soul as one friend fulfills the desire of another. The Vedas, like the Mundaka Upanishad as well as Shvetashvatara Upanishad, compare the soul and the super soul to two friendly birds sitting on the same tree. One of the birds, the individual atomic soul, is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other bird, Krishna, is simply watching his friend. Of these two birds, although they are the same in quality, one is captivated by the fruits of the material tree, while the other is simply witnessing the activities of his friend. Krishna is the witnessing bird and Arjuna is the eating bird. Although they are friends, one is still the master and the other is the servant. Forgetfulness of this relationship by the atomic soul is the cause of one's changing his position from one tree to another or from one body to another. The jiva soul is struggling very hard on the tree of the material body, but as soon as he agrees to accept the other bird as the supreme spiritual master, as Arjuna agreed to be voluntarily by surrendering to Krishna for instruction, the subordinate bird immediately becomes free from all lamentations. So these are some thoughts on who we are and what is the soul. The soul is the very atomic particle. How small it is, just to give an idea, the Bhagavad Gita explained that the size of the soul is the tip of a, how much?
The tip of the hair.
You divide that in 100 pieces, and one of those 100 pieces divide again 100 pieces. That will be the size of the atomic soul. That's why you can't see it, although they open the chest for heart transplant, they can't see the soul. You know, so atomic. I mean, the biggest, the most powerful microscope can't see it. You know, to start with, it is not material. Only you can see only material things with material objects or material instrument. Spiritual things can't be seen with these eyes or with any material instrument. So that's why some scientists sometimes they don't believe in the existence of the soul, because the argument is that we can't see it. But that's not a good argument. People believe in so many things without seeing them. There are many things you can see, but you know they are there. The radio and TV, you know, you don't see how the image is transferred from one side to the other, but it's happening, although you are not seeing it. And there are things you can see and they don't exist. For example, on a very hot day, not today of course, you're driving and very, very hot, and you can see mirage on the highway of water. You know there is no water there, but your eyes are seeing water. So, but you can't believe your eyes. So you can't believe everything you see, and you can't disbelieve the things you can't see. So that's very important to know. And at the beginning of the past century, one doctor wanted to make an experiment to see, to experiment at the time of death what happens. So he will put the dying patient with the bed and everything on a big balance, you know, to see the weight. So as so he was, you know, checking the weight. And as soon as the person died, immediately, like 21 grams went down in the balance. With everyone, doesn't matter if it was fat or thin or small or big, all of, so he concluded that something left the body when the person died. So now what left the body? Oh, when somebody die, we cry, oh, my dear ones die, but the two legs are there, the two arms, the head, everything is there. What is missing? What is there in the living body that the dead body doesn't have? This is a particular that gives life to the body that's not material. So, and the soul goes transmigrating from lower bodies to higher bodies. That cat is also a soul. Although, because of that body, he can't understand that truth. He really believed that he's a cat. And I have to go after the mouse, the mice, and all this. But human beings can understand, I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. When the body dies, I'm not going to die. I'm an eternal living entity. But due to ignorance, I'm suffering because I identify myself with the body and the mind. Then this duality, you know, heat, cold, happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, day, night. This duality of this material is always affecting us. Because we are identifying ourselves as a byproduct of the material energy. So we are under its spell. Like a man struggling in the middle of the ocean. No matter how good swimmer may be, for how long can swim. But if somebody comes with a boat and help him out, oh, he's a great savior. Oh. one would be always grateful to somebody who saved one from such a danger. So the same way, we are struggling in material existence, life after life, because the soul being going on for a very long, long time, trying to find happiness in a place which is full of suffering, and temporary. But that doesn't mean there is no happiness. There is, but we are looking in the wrong place. Somebody, like an animal, trying to find water, very thirsty, in the desert. That's the wrong place to look. Even a man, he's lost in the desert looking for water, and because of the sun, he starts to see mirages in the desert, and he sees very nice lake with palm trees around. Oh, wonderful. And he jumps in the lake, and he just clashes his face in the hot sand. It all disappeared. That's the illusion. You believe there is something, but when you reach it, you see it's not real. It's an illusion. It's all in the mind, created by the mind. The hope that I will get the enjoyment, the happiness I was looking for. So, but there is, but he has to go to the forest where the waterfalls are, or the crystal clear lakes and rivers are. Then you can quench your thirst. So the same way, if we want real peace and happiness, we have to look for spiritual life, to start finding answers to questions like, who am I? What I am doing in this world? What is there after that? Why am I suffering? Who is God? What is my relationship with Him? Very nice explanation here. The body is like a tree, and we are a bird eating the fruits, mixed fruits of happiness and distress of the body. And there is another bird in the tree. But that bird is not interested in the mixed fruits. He's interested in his other friend who forgot him. Just waiting for his friend to look back to him and remember him. His real friend. So, that's the super soul. We are soul, there is a super soul. The super soul is in the body of every living entity. We are only in this body. We are conditioned to one body. We know only the worries and happiness of this body. But we don't know of others. But the super soul is in everyone's body, so he knows everyone. He knows the past, present, future of every living entity. And he's helping the soul life after life. Like an advisor, a witness. In the Bhagavad Gita there is another verse that explains that. Ishvara sarva bhutanam ridesha arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. Yantra means machine. So this body is like a machine. If you want to touch your nose, you don't have to order muscle 33, please move muscle 44, so I can move my finger. No, it happens automatically, isn't it? So the machine works by simple desire. But who's driving the machine? That's the point. We are not the machine. We are the driver of the machine. But we are different from the machine. And the super soul is controlling the wandering of the souls from one body to another. In the same way we experience childhood, then youth, then old age. In the same way, at the time of death, the soul changes body to another body. Has to enter the womb of another mother and be born. And that's according to past activities, karma, will be better or same or worse. But human life is meant to be free from this repeated birth and death by cultivating spiritual life, spiritual knowledge, Krishna consciousness. So we don't have to go again in the same repeated cycles of birth and death called samsara. So this is the basic philosophical knowledge about the soul and the world and the purpose of human beings. But I hope I awakened some curiosity in you, so you may have to ask some question. Yes?
Yeah, I have a question. If we cannot experience the soul with the senses, or without the mind, or with the mind, and definitely not from from the ego or the intellect.
Yes.
I mean, we can understand it intellectually, but how do we experience, or from where do we experience the soul? From the soul itself?
Very good question. Thank you. Very good question. It's not enough to know that I'm not the body, I'm the soul. One has to experience the soul. That's very important. And experience comes from practice. I mean, the soul proper can be conscious of its own existence inside the body. When the soul's awake to true knowledge, the soul is covered by ignorance and passion. So those coverings don't allow us to perceive the soul. Is it? The mind is covered by passion, ignorance, greed, lust, anger, envy, so many things. It's like you stand in front of a mirror and the mirror full of dirt. You can't see yourself. But if you take a wet towel and you clean the mirror, then you start to see yourself. So in the same way, this process of chanting the holy names, mantra, maha mantra. Maha means the greatest, and mantra means man is the mind, and tra to free the mind. From what? From all misconception, from all ignorance. How? By this practice of chanting, with concentration, avoiding distraction. That's the meaning of meditation. To concentrate, to focus the mind in one object. And this Maha Mantra, this recitation or chanting, is very powerful because it has this power to clean the mirror of the mind from dirty things. So when the mind becomes cleaner and purified, then you can perceive your real self. You can experience it. Not just theoretically, but practically. And once one gets that experience, then one becomes convinced. Yes, it is true.
Yeah, I also read that the process of yoga, or this process, is not so much about acquiring knowledge, learning something, but forgetting.
Well,
learning.
You have to forget all the wrong ideas and to accept the right ideas. Mm-hmm. That's mean progress. That's how the world progress, even materially or spiritually. To give up the wrong ideas, accept the right ideas. So spiritual knowledge means give up all misconception and accept the right conception. So this is all about. That's why we have to read back books like Bhagavad Gita and other books. You can find them here. So
you mentioned that when death occurs, you know, the soul leaves the body.
Yes.
And the body is just a vessel. But what about astral projection, when your soul leaves your body but you're still alive?
Yes.
How does it maintain the being alive while your soul is out of the body?
Okay, I used to practice that before I came to Krishna consciousness, so I can tell you a little bit about out-of-body experience and astral projection. There is a link that link the mind with the body. Sometimes they call it a silver cord, or whatever name they want to call it. But there is something that links the mind to, even when you sleep, even when you have a dream, your mind is wandering outside the body.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So you don't have to have like astral projection. Even in dreams you are having astral projection. But when you're dreaming, most of the time you don't realize you're dreaming. You think this is real. Not until you wake up, oh, was a dream, wasn't real. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one dream once I had. I had a dream, I was in Paris. And I went to visit the temple there. So one devotee invited me for lunch. They had a restaurant there, the same as here. So I went together, we were having a nice prasad and we were chatting and everything. And I knew that devotee because I lived in France some time, many years ago. So while having this conversation, I asked my friend, my good friend, you have to help me here. I'm very happy to be here with you, but I can't remember how I came here. I don't remember taking a plane or a boat or anything. I'm completely bewildered. Please, I don't remember how I came here. And my friend smiled and he said, you came with the boat of the mind. Then I woke up immediately and realized I was dreaming. So life is like that. Night dream, day dream. We wake up in the morning, oh, that was a dream, but we enter another dream. We think, I am such and such, I am this and this, I have this job, I have this occupation, this, that. We enter another dream. But spiritual life means to wake up from both dreams. Imagine the man having a nightmare. A tiger is chasing me. Please help me, help me. Tiger is going to eat me. Please help. And his friend come in the room, a little crazy. Oh, my friend has been attacked by a tiger. Let me sleep next to him and enter into his dream and kill the tiger. That's madness. The common sense thing to do is wake up. There is no tiger. It's only a nightmare. It's only a dream. So that's what spiritual life means, to wake up and to realize this is a dream. It's not real. It's an illusion. It's like a mirage. It looks real, but has temporary existence, appear and disappear. So in the same way, this is, the mind at the time of death is taking the body from one body to the next. It's like the mind is like the carrier, transportation agent to carry the soul. So depending on the time of death, what is our state of mind that determine what kind of body we are going to have. So that's why practice of bhakti yoga means to focus the mind on the Supreme by chanting. Then you start learning how to focus your mind, and at the time of death, when you are practiced, then you can do it, then you don't have to be born again into a material body. You get transferred to the spiritual body. Yes.
Sometimes people, when they take certain kinds of drugs, they have realizations that they become God. What is that?
Well, that's another hallucination.
Yeah,
how I used to think like that. I also have that experience. I used to take hallucinative drugs and think, oh, everything moves because of me. The sun is shining, the moon is shining, all the universe because I'm the center of the universe. Just see? Confirmed. It's a big illusion. It's a big illusion. Then one day, I was so much in pain. I had a toothache. My God, it's so painful. And I thought to myself, how can I be God? I'm suffering like anything. Must be something wrong here. I didn't understand properly. You know? So it's all that hallucination. People think that the hallucination is spiritual. No material substance, no matter how powerful it is, can create a spiritual experience. That's completely bluff. That's completely bluff. It's only subtle mental experience. May open up your mind a little bit to something different from the body, but it's still in the mental platform. You have to go to spiritual life, spiritual practice to really experience something really high. Yes.
This question's kind of always been in the back of my mind, but okay, we have so many different religious traditions.
Okay.
And if someone follows their particular, say someone never comes to Krishna consciousness, as a good devout Catholic goes by the book.
Okay.
A good this or that. Now, when they die, are they put in a more auspicious situation to know Krishna, or do they go directly to Krishna?
Try to understand. Doesn't matter what religion you have. I mean, you can't say, I'm Christian, I'm not going to get sick. Or I'm Hindu, I'm not going to die. Everybody has to get old, sick and die. Doesn't matter what religion you may have. So what kind of consciousness you may have at the time of death, that depends how seriously you practiced, how sincerely you devoted yourself. It's not a question just to put, like a sign, I'm Hindu, Muslim, Christian, this, that. That's external. God is not Hindu, Christian, or Muslim, or Jew. So, the problem is not people have different religions. The problem is that they don't practice. Most of the time. I know many people who tell me, I'm Catholic, but I don't practice. So what that means? If you really believe in something, you will practice it. If you don't really believe, just superficially, then what is the use? It's not something to be accepted socially that I belong to a certain religion. So accepted by the public, so I'm all right, I'm okay.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case there's God, I accept it superficially because.
Yeah.
So Krishna judges you on your faith and your faith in action.
Of course.
Is what determines. So even if you never chant Hare Krishna, if you are a devout Krishna and you love God with all your heart,
you
go back to Krishna anyway.
I mean, God is one. Try to understand. So if God is one, religion is also one. Religion means teach you how to know God, how to love Him and to serve Him. How to obey God. For example, in the Christian religion, they are supposed to abide by the laws of God. And the Bible says you should not kill. But they are very expert at killing animals and eating them. So how that is following the Christian religion? Who was that philosopher, very critical philosopher? Nietzsche? Mm-hmm. He said, the only Christian I knew was crucified. Also, Prabhupada said something like that. He said, we accept Jesus as our guru, as our spiritual teacher. We love Him, we worship Him, because He sacrificed His life for God. But we still have to see the true Christians, where they are. He must be in hiding or something.
Because that's something that I've noticed in my life, I've had to overcome, is that attitude of,
yeah,
when you find, you know, the truth, to then, you know, because, you know, I was raised, you know, in a certain group within Christianity. It's the church I was at, you know, if you were not part of the group, then you were out, you know. And so when I found Krishna consciousness, I think a lot of, we all go to that new devotee syndrome, where it's like we have to, if it's Krishna or nothing. And it's like, so that was the reason I wanted to ask that, because someone's really following.
Try to understand, Krishna consciousness is not another religion.
Yeah, right.
It's a spiritual science. We are talking about the soul, the transmigration of the soul. These are scientific subjects to study. You can be of any religion and talk about the same thing. You know. It doesn't have to do with religion. My beliefs, your beliefs. It's philosophical. Religion without philosophy is something most of the time sentimental and sometimes even fanatic. So we have to have both things, to have a spiritual science. I wasn't looking for a new religion when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I was looking for answers. What is the purpose of life? Who I am? So that's something more profound.
Yeah.
Nowadays religion is like superficial. This group, that group, you belong to this, you don't belong to that. You can change your religion. People do. But what is that thing you can change?
Can't change birth, disease, old age, and death.
You can change, for example, that fire has two symptoms, heat and light. You can't take away heat and light from fire. You can't separate one thing from the other, because it's nature. In the same way, what is our nature? Or real, eternal nature? So that's beyond religion. That's spirituality. That's philosophy.
Which would explain why so many people, I think, are disillusioned with so-called religion, because it's so focused on, like, I call it spiritual elitism. If you're not part of this, then it's not, and that's all based on bodily conception,
right?
Time, place, circumstance, and all these things that are you know, superficials.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why people become disenchanted, because There is the ritual, there is the, you know, but what is the knowledge about the soul, about, you know, our relationship with the Supreme, with this world, with others? This is the basic, you like, must know. Some religion believe that when the person die, the soul also die. And only the good ones will be will resurrect from their graves But that time, they were, the body would be eaten by the worms, so only the skeletons would rise. So. What about if the body was burned to ashes? The ashes will rise from the grave? I mean, come on. So, the soul is different from the body. That's the basic knowledge. But some of this group believe, no, we are the body, the spirit, and the soul.
Yeah, that's what we
you can't be three things, you have to be one.
That's what we were talking
about. Yeah. The soul is covered by the body and the mind. It's a covering. It's if I put a globe in my hand and move my fingers, it looks like the globe is alive. But no, unless the hand is inside, the globe can't move. In the same way, unless the soul is inside the body is not alive. A simple thing, difficult to understand. Difficult to understand. Yes?
It would seem like, sort of when you were talking about the mirror and cleaning the mirror earlier, if we are all mirrors, and as Krishna, the light passes through us, we're refracted into like a prism, and so that's why you can see Krishna in all the religions and all components of the self, like it's a refraction of light.
Yeah, God is light, and darkness is ignorance. Where there is God, there is no darkness, there is no ignorance. Tamasima jyotirgama. The Vedas said, don't stay in the darkness. Come to the light of knowledge. So when you realize the truth, then you don't make discrimination. This religion, that religion. But you see something external. You want the essence. You want the reality. Beyond this ideas made by man. Okay, yes?
So, when we leave this world,
yes,
and go back to Krishna,
yes, hopefully.
Hopefully. That is good, but then I was just wondering, what happens to the people that never leave? Will this world also be here forever, just like Krishna's
yes,
world?
Yes, to give forever opportunity to everyone to come back to their senses and awaken their spiritual intelligence. That's why the world is being created, maintained, destroyed, and recreated again. And this is going like forever. Why? To give the chance to all kind of souls to a certain point of in time to awaken. To realize, you know, when the soul gets frustrated and its repeated attempt to be happy in a place where it's suffering, then start asking the questions. What am I doing in this world? What is the purpose of life? Why I'm suffering? I'm looking for happiness. Understand? So unless the soul start asking these questions, if you think, oh, I can be happy if I do this, after I get that, okay, then remain an illusion. Until you are kicked enough times by the material energy, then you start to realize maybe something wrong here, you know. Yes.
Do you believe that there are infinite souls or limited souls?
No, there are unlimited number of souls. You can't count how many grains of sand are on the beach. So in the same way, you can't count how many souls are there. Innumerable. Of course, only God can count them. He has that power. But there's an unlimited number. Because there are many thousands of millions of universes. There is only one. It's like this universe is like a mustard seed in a bag full of mustards.
Does Krishna control all of them?
All of them. He's the supreme controller. He create, maintain, and destroy everything in due time. And in every creation, he comes and gives his teaching to awaken those sleeping souls from their slumber, from their ignorance, out of love and compassion.
He wants us more than we want.
Yeah, yeah. If we make one step toward him, he make 10 steps toward us. He's more eager than us to free us from this ignorance, this illusion. It's up to us, finally, it's our choice. If we want to take it. Yes.
Thank you for being with us tonight. I had a moment one time, more recently, about being I had a little bit of control issues, I'm sure we all do, it seems like, why we're here.
Yeah.
Some of us are better at it than others, or striving to be better at it. But I had this realization, of course, that God is the controller.
Yes.
We are also a tiny drop of the same qualities.
Mm-hmm.
We're a very minute, small amounts. But it was kind of a relief that I get these control qualities, because we're part of God. But how can you suggest that we might use these control qualities toward the better instead of the worse?
Of course, we can learn how to control our mind and senses. That's a very good way to apply this tendency to control. Instead, try to control everyone. First, we shall try to control our own mind and senses. That's a good starting.
And almost the impossible.
Well, everything is possible.
I think if we really did that too, like I'm talking about myself first and foremost, but like I'm trying to get to that point to make that my meditations. Like when I start to judge other people and things, and especially if they do something that irritates or aggravates me, I'm thinking, you know, I'm a handful of trying to keep myself in order.
Yeah.
Like, I should, you know, I maybe need to get myself in order.
Together before starting to control others' behavior.
It's a full-time job. Yeah. You've got to take care of yourself.
That's true. That's true.
You know? And you don't get overtime either.
We have time off.
Yeah, then you'll get time off and nothing.
Right, right. All right, so thank you very much for all of you for coming and hearing. It was a pleasure to share with you. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Can we move this away from
you?
Give you some space. Are you
going to
go?
That's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
When we speak about death and changing the body and the soul, well, changing the body, the soul is forever. It seems it makes us very kind of afraid. So when a person comes to Krishna, does he minimize that pain and suffering of changing the body and going through the cycle of trying to devote your life to him, trying to be free of this cycle of birth, death, disease, and old age? It's over and over and over that we go through it.
Well, if we surrender to Krishna, he can change that. That's the point. We can do it, he can do it. But we have to give ourselves. Like a child depends on the parents, you know. And sometimes the parents put the child up and ask the child to jump. And the child is fully confident that if I jump, my parents will grab me. I will not bump myself against the floor. Have this enough trust, you know. So that's why you can make the jump. So Krishna is the same way asking us, jump, I will catch. Have faith in me. Give yourself to me. I will take care of you. So it's up to us, finally. But Krishna's more than willing. And after, you know, we shouldn't be anxious about our own liberation. In the sense, we do our best and depend on Krishna. It's up to Him. Like great devotee, they pray to Krishna, if I have to be born again, I don't want to be born even as Brahma if he's not devotee. I prefer to be born in the house of devotees, even if it's as a pet or whatever. So that's of course, we should desire to get out of this cycle of birth and death, but we should know that if we please Krishna, He may want to save us. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.